Today's reading is from Acts chapter 16. We're actually going to start on the 13th verse. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate. We walked down to the river. There we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered together. One of the women, listening to us from the city of Tyrithia, her name was Lydia, and her business was selling purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to accept Paul's message. She and her family were baptized. Then she invited us to her home. "Do you consider me to be a believer of the Lord?" she asked. "If you do, come and stay at my house." She succeeded in getting us to go home with her. One day, we were going to this place of prayer, and on the way we met a female slave. She had the spirit that helped her to tell people what was going to happen. She earned a lot of money for her owners by doing this. She followed Paul and the rest of us around. She shouted, "These men serve the Most High God. They are telling you how to be saved." She kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul became upset. Turning around, he spoke to the spirit that was in her. "In the name of Jesus Christ," he said, "I command you to come out of her." And at that very moment, the spirit left the woman. Against the grain and between the lines, I believe, is where Christians are meant to live their lives. Most of life isn't as simple as black and white, right and wrong, true and false. Instead, we often just live in the gray. And gray can be exceedingly tricky. It's very elusive, and it's asks for light, but it's happy with the dark. That's the world that we live in. Paul and Silas were at Lydia's house of prayer, and it was there that everybody was baptized, and they daily walked from her house down to the river, and that's where this whole thing is going on. One day there's this slave girl who comes shouting out, "These two are slaves of the Most High God." Can you see her? I mean, it's like she has a blowhorn and is shouting it on the street corner as loud as she can through that bullhorn. "These two are slaves of the Most High God." Apparently, she doesn't stop announcing it with just once or twice or even three times. She just keeps going until Paul gets so upset with her that he just says, "Buzz off, get out of our faces, you have to be gone." So that's a whole thing that we could talk about. But what I want to know is, why is this girl nameless? And why is she nameless? So who are the nameless in our city? And why are we so afraid of the nameless, talking about how God is and how loving Jesus is and how the Spirit leads? Why are we scared of that? Why nameless? If somebody's nameless, we can objectify them. That means that we can actually make them into an object. Not a real human being, but an object. They're dispensable. We can always get rid of one and then get another one. We create people who are nameless so that we can distance ourselves from them. We call them the poor, and the homeless, and the mentally ill, and the addicted, and the incarcerated. They don't have names, just labels. Namelessness helps us to demonize people. We're not like them because they, whatever, whatever, whatever. And we are this way. Think about it. Who are the nameless? that you interact with potentially every day. By keeping people nameless, overgeneralizations can be made about an entire group, while at the same time, this is really whack, you can make these overgeneralizations while at the same time making a very personal attack. Who are the nameless? In Madison, in Stoughton, in Oregon, in Watertown, wherever you are, who are the nameless? Why are we so scared? Really? Are we scared because they're different? Or because sometimes there is an odor? Or because maybe they mutter to themselves? Or maybe a tick that they can't control? Do the nameless deserve to be treated in an inhumane way? Paul is so scared of this girl that he takes away a God-given gift. She has a gift to be able to see what's going to happen in people's lives. That's uncool that he takes it away, that he smashes it to the ground. Paul is supposed to be this new spreader of the love of God and Jesus, and here he is doing the opposite with this girl. Paul's saying, you are not okay. You're not like me, and you're not like Silas, so you need to change. So is it any wonder that people see Christians as hypocrites? There have been many times for each of us in our lives where we have been the nameless ones. We have been the slaves to someone or to something. Hopefully, many of us have been befriended by someone who takes us out of the namelessness and into the name. The ones who are claimed by God, who are loved no matter what. We didn't stay nameless. God's voice echoes, and God's voice says, I know you, I love you, your name is the same as my son's, your name is beloved. You like that? God names you beloved. It cannot end with us. There are too many nameless. And they need to hear God's love, and they need to have God's name. This is ours to do. Because if we don't do it, who out there will stand up for the nameless? We have each been named and claimed by a loving and caring God. Blessed so that we can go out and care for others and give them that same name out of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. So they may know they are reconciled with us, reconciled with God, and made whole. Now we gotta go do it.